News Talk 680 WPTF. Many of you have been following the $800 billion pork bill, billed as a stimulus or recovery bill. It passed the House. No Republicans voted for it. God bless America. And some rather smart Democrats, including Heath Shuler from the state of North Carolina, voted against it. But it does head to the Senate now. And that is why it is always a privilege to have Senator Burr on the program, but even more so now as we take a look at this and what will happen in the Senate and get his thoughts, and that's why he's on the phone with us. And Senator Burr, welcome to the show.
Bill, good afternoon. I'm envious, 50 degrees, and I'm sitting here looking at ice on the ground outside still.
Well, if you go to the White House, I guess Barack Obama's really pumped up the thermostat there to about 80 degrees or something like that. Well, listen, you know, when I saw this bill quoting John Boehner, I went, oh, my God. I got to believe you felt the same way. Anybody who's read this piece or even knows a little bit about it is immediately aware it has nothing to do with stimulating the economy.
Bill, think about it this way. Even the White House today changed their tune and didn't call it a stimulus bill. It's a rescue package. This is a mega spending bill that goes back as far as 12 years at things that appropriators, Republican and Democrat, Clinton administration, Bush administration, wouldn't put in the appropriations. And they found a vehicle now to stick it in. They believe that nobody's watching or that everybody will excuse them because of what's going on. But the fact is, this is probably the biggest non-normal appropriations bill ever passed in anywhere in the world.
And what's so frightening about this, and I watched the news coverage earlier this morning, you know, on the talking head shows, and they're more concerned about, well, where's the unity? Why didn't the Republicans jump off the bridge, too? Where is the what about the magic of Barack? No one has really, as far as at least I haven't seen it, critically taken a look at this bill and asked the question, well, why didn't the Republicans vote against it?
Well, let me just say, I want to put it in the bigger context. 2 weeks ago, $350 billion in TARP. Next week, the Senate, probably $900 billion in a mega spending bill. The following week after that, we're going to do an omnibus appropriations bill for the second half of 2009, probably another $800 billion.
Oh, my.
And I wouldn't be a bit surprised before July to see the administration come and ask for $500 billion additional money for TARP. So, I think now is the time the American people need to say, whose money are you spending? Where are we going to get this from? I don't want this debt on my children. You're way past my children. Just this spending bill alone, if you compound the interest on it, our children cannot pay the tab. It will be our grandchildren.
It's I'm mortified that any politician, Democrat, Republican, any politician would do this, especially when you take a look at the program. And of course, you go back to Barack Obama and he made it very clear that this was supposed to be no pork. It should stimulate the economy and create jobs. Is there anything in this bill that actually does that?
And the answer is very little. I mean, I could make a case that some of the Corps of Engineer projects, because they run a pretty tight ship, probably are shovel ready and that they can complete them in a fast amount of time and get the money out the door. But most of it belongs debated in the regular appropriations process, and Democrats can't claim that that's too far off. It's the following week.
Unbelievable. You know, you can debate the merit of each and every little program. I think there's 32 new actual programs in this, in addition to a bunch of pork.
Which does not meet Nancy Pelosi's pledge of temporary. A new federal program, we know, never goes away. And as a matter of fact, Bill, every new program, as you well know, changes the baseline for the budget for next year. So our starting point raises. It doesn't go away. And whether we spend it on that, we are going to spend it on something because the baseline is now higher.
Well, they've actually doubled what the in education, Department of Education, I mean, they've doubled that funding from the federal government to, the schools. What happens when that goes away? Well, of course, it isn't going to go away. So what you're saying is that baseline now, which, and I'm pulling numbers here that may not be, but, you know, $69 billion it was, and now it's $135 billion. That's the new baseline, isn't it?
And we could have a debate about increased funding. That's fine. But to do it and not have a debate about it, not have a hearing on it, not understand the merits of where it's going to be spent and how it's going to be used, So much of this is to increase that baseline so that in the next appropriations bill, the increase is automatic.
Now, there was the Republican bill, and you get me up to speed on this, but the same methodology was applied to the tax cuts that were proposed by the Republicans, and the same methodology applied that Barack Obama and his administration applied to this bill, and it created twice as many jobs for half the money. And we can argue whether the methodology was flawed or not, but, I mean, just that alone, common sense would dictate, Senator, that this plan should have been defeated overwhelmingly.
You're right, Bill. And the unfortunate thing that I have to share with you and your listeners, it will not be defeated next week. It will pass.
There's nothing we can do?
Short of a change in the minds of quite a few Democrats in the Senate, it's very difficult for me to see an avenue where this bill can be thwarted from becoming law. That's tough to say. We're going to do our best next week to make the case to the American people. We're going to have targeted amendments that deal with truly things that are stimulative. We're going to bring up a real legislation that addresses the mortgage crisis, that tries to turn around the trend of foreclosures, tries to bring stability to housing prices community by community, allows us through refinancing mortgages to begin to establish a value for those illiquid assets that are at financial institutions that the Treasury's talking about buying. And they don't know how to buy them because they don't know what value. We will begin to establish a value because as we refinance mortgages, they will be treated as held till maturity because they'll be paid off. So we not only help generate economic growth, we help generate this pipeline that's clogged at the financial institutions with illiquid assets.
Well, Senator Richard Burr is with us. You can stay through the break, can't you, sir?
Sure.
Greg, because I have some more questions for you. And it's one of those times, folks, it's a pivotal moment. It really is a pivotal moment. And it's very distressing to hear that this might just get past what's to come.